Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, councillors, members of the gallery, executives. Please remain standing for the prayer and reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
And the reconciliation statement says, Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants, past and present. Thank you. You may be seated. Councillors, I turn your attention to item number 2, apologies and leave of absence. Are there any intervening?
Apology from Councillor Borg, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Number 3, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor or council officer.
Madam Mayor, I declare a conflict of interest in the officer's report, item 15.4, in the closed section of council. And that report is titled CEO's Periodical Assessment Report.
Thank you, Mr. Thorey. Item number 4, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. And there is a recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 5th of March 2013 be confirmed as a true and correct record. Do I have a second up for that?
I'd like to move.
I second that, Madam Mayor.
Do I have a seconder for that?
I'll second up.
Thank you. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Number 5, petitions and joint letters.
No, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item number 6, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
No, Madam Mayor.
And item number 7, public question time. Thank you,
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The first question this evening is from Nathan Miles. Mr. Miles is in the gallery. His first question is, can the council please inform the community of the exact and full financial cost to council for the recent Meet the Mayor events? I'll happily provide that detail to you, Mr. Miles. I don't have those figures at hand this evening, but I'm happy to provide them to you in full detail. Mr. Miles' second question is, can the Melton Council explain why pensioners with cats who go to pay their cat registration renewal bill at Australia Post are unable to pay the bill of $8.50 instead of being forced to pay $9? The invoice bill is for $8.50, yet council are charging $9. Is this intentional revenue-raising exercise or a legitimate mistake? Many pensioners have been forced to pay the extra amount. Will council immediately refund the extra amount or immediately credit the extra amount to next year's renewal for those who have been illegally and unfairly charged? I wasn't aware of this until I got your question, but I would assume it is an error, and I will investigate it. And if in fact that is what's been happening, then yes, we will credit the amount back against the property account of the relevant individuals. Next question is from CCWRA President. And it's signed. I can't quite make out the name. The Coburn Watts Residents Association.
We have the president of the CCWRA sitting here, Nathan Miles. He's already had the 2 questions.
Okay.
So, Mr. Miles, your 2 questions, you have already actually asked 2 questions.
I asked 2 questions on behalf of myself.
Here on behalf of the association. This is, it states that it's from the president, and that's yourself, I believe. I won't allow it. Thank you.
We'll provide a written response.
We will provide a written response, Mr. Miles.
The next question states, this question is for the Mayor, Cathy Mazlik. One, who are Centre Management, proprietorylimited.com.au, and what do they do? And two, who are AKA, Proprietary Limited, www.pensionsinfo.com.au, and what do they do?
And this is from Rena Iliadi. Yep. They're actually a family business.
Thank you, Mr. Dorn.
The next question.
You're more than welcome to Google what they do. You're more than welcome to Google what they do, what they are, but they are a family business.
Well, we have.
Thank you. Thank you.
They,
I can certainly vouch that they do. Mr. Thorey.
Next question from Ms. Iliadis is, do any of the councillors have any interest?
That is my answer. If you don't like it.
The question was not whether or not it was a family business. The question was, who are they and what do they do?
They are a family business, full stop. And you are now out of order. Apart from it being a personal question, Ms. Iliadi, it's a family business, full stop.
Madam Mayor, point of order. We're having a dialogue. Could we just please resume?
Thank you, Ms. Story.
Next question from Ms. Iliadi is, do any of the councillors have any interest or declare any interest, even third-party interest, in real estate, property development, any consultancy services, planning services, etc., within either the City of Melton and or the State of Victoria? To answer that question, would take a reference to the Declaration of Interest Returns, which each councillor are required to submit, both the primary return and the periodic ordinary return. That register and those returns are available for inspection by any member of the public on application. The details of what's in those returns I can't quote to you this evening, but like I said, it's a public register and it's available for public viewing.
Well, just to make it a little easier,
sorry, Ms. Iliadi, I'm not asking you for a dialogue. What's your clarification? I can assure you, Ms. Iliadi, that if there is a conflict of interest...
Again, I can't give you that information tonight.
I suggest that you look into the details and you can find out for yourself. No, I won't allow it. I won't allow it. We're not hiding anything, sir. And you are out of order. You are out of order. And if you continue out of order, I will have you removed. Simple as that. The question was answered by Mr. Thorey. Thank you, madam. The question was answered. I'm not having a dialogue. Ms. Iliadi, you are warned. You are out of order. I will ask you to remain silent or I'll have you removed. I will have you removed. Thank you. I will have you removed, Ms. Iliadi. Councillors, I'll ask for an adjournment. We will call the police to have you removed. Thank you.
Thank you. might ask you about.
Go home.
rest. question I would ask you?
Yeah.
How's Justin going? How's Justin going?
He's good, thank you. Yeah. Really well. Yeah.
And family?
All good. All good. Yeah.
What's he doing with himself?
He's actually
been
to the King's.
Oh, yeah. On the bank,
yeah.
Okay.
So, he's enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh, give him my regards.
I will.
His dad bought his car 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's on the legend.
The start
of the slip, and they wanted to serve it. They got a little gun and said, come back. I told him to get rid of it. He said, well, I don't want to get rid of it at the moment. I said, well, as long as you drive as a manual, you'll get away with it. And he did about 4 years before he had to get rid of
it. Yeah. Well, it's good car when you get
it. Oh, yeah. But I'm pretty young. Yeah. But you got to look after it too.
Yes, that's true.
And I don't think he did. But no, that was all. But no, I hope nobody's heard anything of him. My mother said, just drum into us the head and over again. It costs you nothing to say good morning and good afternoon.
That's right.
That's true. But Kathy answered that one there. Kathy answered that question. Well, Calvin answered that question. But she didn't get the paper cotton wool out of her ears. She didn't get the answer she wanted. And the answer is, but that means you have to have a lot of time during the day to figure out what's not just. You have to sit on the computer all day. Well, it's four meetings at least. Because they were the same lot with Jerome Curry. Yeah. We have it. All right. They've been forced to agree to the whole lot. Yes, you have the right to say the things.
councillors, members of the gallery, executive. I now hereby reconvene the meeting and we'll continue with question time. Thank you, Mr. Thorey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The next question is from A. Tuvana, who's in the gallery. Question is, why are meetings with developers and contractors private when the funding is public? Don't residents have the right to know how and with whom the dollar is being spent? Is this a case of privatising profits and socialising losses? I'm not sure what meetings or what funding is being referred to in the first part of the question. If I could seek some clarification from the questioner. But the question was, what funding are you referring to?
The grants. The grants.
Okay, well, I don't see how that funding is directly tied to developers who may well be developing private land in their commercial business. And that funding has no relevance to them, and they are entitled to privacy and commercial confidentiality, the same as any person in the business world is. Similar with contractors who contract with council, the contracts are public record as far as the resolution of council awarding contracts, but the detail within those contracts has a degree of commercial confidentiality about it, and it's only reasonable in the commercial environment that those companies are able to enjoy that level of commerciality and confidentiality. As to residents having the right to know how and with whom the dollar is being spent, as I said, there are certain things that are a matter of public record. There are other things that are subject to commercial confidentiality. And residents have some rights, but not unilateral and exhaustive rights. Next question is also from Ms. Tuvana, who asks, when an individual deals with the council, are they, A, dealing as private individual entities by private treaties, or B, dealing with a third tier of government by statutory forms? If the answer is B, by which forms, please name them, have individuals agreed to deal with the council, and at what point in time was this initiated? In response to the first part of the question, when an individual deals with the council, the manner in which they deal with the council or the basis of those dealings is dependent upon what the dealings are. So they can either be dealing as a private individual entity where they're seeking council advice or council support or council services. Or similarly, they can be dealing with a third tier of government where the council is acting under statutory authority that it derives from a number of acts, including the Local Government Act. By that context, do you mean when they are paying their rates? But ratepayers deal with council in many different ways. In terms of paying their rates, they are dealing with a third tier of government who is acting under the statute, which is the Local Government Act. There is no agreement. The local government. There is no agreement required on the individual. You would be aware that when an individual purchases property, certain details are provided to the local government authority and other authorities, and also the Act itself places an obligation on land owners and.
Sorry, Ms. Tuvana. Mr. Thorey is trying to answer your question. So, can you allow Mr. Thorey to answer your question?
The form is by an Act of the State Parliament of the State of Victoria.
By what form?
By an Act of Parliament of the State of Victoria. By an Act of Parliament of the State of Victoria. Sorry. Well, it's by an Act of the Parliament of the State of Victoria.
Miss Tavana, that's the answer. Okay? Full stop. That is the answer. You are out of order now. That is the answer that Mr. Tory has given.
The answer to your question is it is in accordance with an Act of the State Parliament of Victoria.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tavana.
Next question is from John Wilson, I believe. Mr. Wilson's in the gallery, who asks to me, says for Mr. Kotori, in the last meeting, you stated that the local law not allowing recording what not gazetted or signed as required by the LGA yet is still enforceable. How is this so? I believe at the last meeting I stated that the local law had been gazetted, which it has. There was an issue with the signing of the local law, which we have had legal advice that it would be considered an administrative defect and would not invalidate the local law. That is the legal advice that we have received. So how it is so is that that is the legal advice we've received, and I guess the validity of the law could be challenged in a court of competent jurisdiction. Next question is from David Axon. Mr. Axon's in the gallery, who says, I write on behalf of the Melton Residents Association. A letter was sent to Council a couple of months ago in regard to Council's view on installation of CCTV cameras around Melton. Installation of these cameras would, after a time in operation, cut down on the graffiti and vandalism problem which we have in Melton. It is understood the cameras are costly, but the money saved on cleaning graffiti and vandalism would go some way to pay for the cameras, or alternatively to pay for more cameras. The cameras do not have to have costly monitoring, but have the images checked regularly. Excuse me. You're correct that the association did write to council on this issue, and the response, I think, was forwarded recently to that letter, wherein it was indicated that the soon-to-be-formed Community Safety Committee, that's an item on tonight's agenda, is proposed to consider this matter as one of its first considerations. There are a number of issues around CCTV monitoring and the use of CCTV cameras, the relatively high cost, of course. Sorry? No, I'm talking to the gentleman behind you who asked the question. I'm answering the question. The relatively inflexible nature of the cameras once they're set up, and the mobility of offenders, particularly in respect to vandalism and other graffiti and other issues. So, a number of councils have implemented it in various forms, and all of that data will need to be assessed to see how it might best be used to address some of the issues that we have in this municipality. Thank you, Madam Mayor. That completes the public questions.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. We move on to agenda item number 8, presentation of staff reports, and move on to 8.1, policy review panel minutes, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to the Council this evening the minutes of the policy review panel held on 21 March 2013 for Council's adoption of those minutes and the adoption of the recommendations contained within those minutes. As Council will be well aware, the Policy Review Panel meets on a regular basis, and as an advisory committee of Council, those minutes must come before the Council for its ratification. On this occasion, the Policy Review Panel considered four particular items, those being the Language Services Policy, the Culturally and Linguistically Diverse Advisory Committee Terms of Reference, the Community Safety Committee Terms of Reference, and the Jarrawarra Festival Advisory Committee Terms of Reference. Attached to this report as Appendix 1 are a copy of those minutes And also included are the final copy of the terms of reference in the language services policy that were formally agreed upon and ratified by the committee for council's consideration. The conduct of the policy review panel is done in accordance with the council plan. There are no financial implications associated with the recommendations of the committee as contained in the minutes. With that in mind, Madam Mayor, I therefore present to council for its consideration the recommendation on page 5, that is that 1, the unconfirmed minutes of the policy review panel of 21 March be noted, and 2, council adopt the recommendations of the committee as detailed in the minutes appended to this report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Turnell.
I'd like some clarification on the Fair Water Festival advisory committee. On the composition of is anyone here tonight that can advise on that. In this new composition, it's got two general community members. How does that vary between the last one?
My understanding, Councillor Turner, and maybe Councillor Ramsey may be able to assist me in clarification of this, but previously there was a committee made up of, I believe, 16 members, and what the committee has tried to do is to try and give more purpose to those bodies on the committee, whereby it is made up of a councillor and a councillor officer. It's made up of service club representatives, not nominating any service clubs per se, but service clubs would be nominated to apply for there, and there are two general community representatives, obviously representing the interests of the general community as such. So whereby previously was more of a committee made up of a number of people, the terms of reference have been revised to perhaps give more substance around specific roles and specific qualities that individuals such as service clubs can bring to the table, but still allowing the opportunity for general members of the community to participate. In this instance, the recommendation is suggesting two.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillors, does any other councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Agenda item 8.2, Community Safety Committee. And the presenter is Mr. Maurie Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this report was tabled as a result of a report that was presented to Council in September 2012, highlighting the achievements in implementing a community safety plan, including identified objectives to promote community across safety across priority areas. The report does provide opportunities to improve council service provision to promote community safety within the city, and a recommendation adopted by the council was the consideration of options to improve stakeholder community engagement, particularly between council and the Victoria Police. The terms of reference, as previously adopted in tonight's agenda, is appended to this report. Councillors, there has been a lot of consultation that's occurred with the police. Department of Justice. It's intended that this revised committee will work, if you like, at a higher level, but there will be a intention also to run up to 2 community engagement forums, if you like, throughout the calendar year. As I said, consultation has also been with the North West Metropolitan Crime Prevention on their looking at their overall crime prevention plan and taking in consultations with our members in the municipality. So I put forward to the council this evening the reports on page 29 that council, in accordance with the Community Safety Committee previous adopted terms of reference, initiate the method of appointment to establish that membership, and the council coordinate the implementation of up to 2 annual community forums to engage the community on key local safety issues, and also that the mayor of the city write to previous police and community safety consultative committee members and attendees acknowledge and thank them for their interests and efforts to improve community safety in our city. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, under dot point 3, can we also, because a lot of these community representatives have been going to what was formerly known as the PCCC committee for a number of years, I was just wondering whether we could possibly invite them to community volunteer recognition, whether it be at Christmas time or whether we have a function a little bit earlier for their work within...
Councillor Ramsey, would that be an incorporation into the recommendations?
I want to firstly find out if that would be possible to recognise them for their volunteer, because they have volunteered numerous hours over a number of years. And that recognition I'd like to be given.
That would be an amendment. It would be an amendment to the motion.
It would just be incorporated into a motion with the recommendation. That an appropriate event be held to...
So, Councillor Ramsey, did you want to add that into the motion?
Yes, please.
So, moved and amended by Councillor Ramsey. Do I need a move for the amendment? Okay. So, Councillor Ramsey has moved an amended motion. She's included that
the volunteers also be recognised at a suitable function.
And councillors, I need a seconder for that amended motion.
I'll second the amended motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the amended motion? I therefore declare it carried. 8.3, authorising or affixing the common seal of council, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services.
Can I put the recommendation as is?
Sorry?
Can I ask the recommendation be put?
Do I have a seconder for this recommendation?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Councillor Pugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. 8.4, Community Learning Board Minutes, February 2013, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Community Learning Board meets bi-monthly and considers matters relating to employment, education and learning within the city. The 27th of February 2013 minutes are attached to this report as Appendix 1, and set out also within those minutes are reports from each of the working parties and projects of the board. Election for the Learning Board's executive positions was held. Catherine Laffey was unanimously confirmed as the Community Learning Board Chair for 2013, with Councillor Sophie Ramsey as the Deputy Chair. A number of matters were discussed, including the resource requirements for the Learning Plan 2013-14, which formed the basis of one of the parts of the recommendation to be considered this evening. The board has two working parties that concentrate on various elements of lifelong learning and implement the Community Learning Plan 2011-2014. They are the Economic Development and Lifelong Learning Working Party and the Social Inclusion and Lifelong Working Party. There is also a Kindergarten Working Party that is a joint activity of the Shire's Early Years Partnership and the Community Learning Board's charter. A copy of the minutes of the meeting held on the 27th of February, as I said, is attached as Appendix 1, as well as the response to the Learning Board's letter from the Honourable Peter Hall, Minister for Higher Education and Skills, regarding concerns over TAFE cuts, is attached as Appendix 2. Madam Mayor, the minutes are attached on page 41 of these minutes. I just request a slight change, which has been included in the recommendation set out on page 39. To modify one of the recommendations. But the recommendation I would request the Council consider this evening, set out on page 39, is that the unconfirmed minutes of the Community Learning Board meeting of the 27th of February 2013 are noted, and two, that the recommendations contained within those minutes be endorsed with a replacement recommendation to the one contained on the second page of the minutes relating to the additional staffing to read as follows. The Council requests the Chief Executive to review the resource support for the Learning Board and, in particular, the delivery of the Community Learning Plan 2013-14. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for the item?
I'd like to move the item, Madam Mayor, but could I also say it's been my first time with the Community Learning Board, and I asked them what they'd like to take the budget, and they said more staff. So if anyone's in Earth, Mr. Bean, it's Councillor Ramsey, because I wanted to show them that the expertise around that table and also the amount of advice they give to council is well, well respected and well adhered to. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I therefore declare it carried, and I congratulate Councillor Ramsey for the Deputy Chair on the Community Learning Board. We move on to 8.5, Meeting Procedure, Local Law Number 2/2013, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is to commence the statutory process for the making of Meeting Procedure Local Law No. 2/2013 in light of the recent introduction of legislation that has affected the Local Government Act 1989. In October 2012, the Local Government Legislation Amendment Miscellaneous Act 2012 came into effect, introducing a number of changes, most critically the introduction of abstention as a voting option. Council could simply amend the existing Meeting Procedure Local Law, which currently does not reflect these amendments. However, it is due to expire in accordance with the sunset provisions set out in the Local Government Act 1989 in 2014. So rather than amend the existing local law and then undertake the process in 12 months' time, it seems timely to simply do it now. The making of a new local law will appropriately address both legislative and temporal issues. The Local Government Act 1989 sets out the power for council to make local laws and the process that must be followed in doing so. As previously stated, the most significant change is in relation to the removal of an ineffective and unenforceable provision making it compulsory for a council to vote in a council meeting. The consequent inclusion states, in inverted commas, the question is determined in the affirmative by a majority of the councillors or members of the special committee present at a meeting at the time the vote is taken, voting in favour of the question. This now provides for councillors and special council committee members to legitimately abstain from voting. Other minor matters proposed in the new local law relate to the order of business listed on the agenda, submission of public questions for a meeting, procedure for recording a division of the council, and offences and penalties. A draft meeting procedure is attached as Appendix 1 to this report. Council is also required to carry out a community impact statement setting out the prescribed details of the local law, which it has done so and is attached as Appendix 2 to this report. Part of the process for making a local law is a public consultation process whereby any person may make a submission on the proposal in accordance with Section 223 of the before-mentioned Act. Council will give public notice in the Government Gazette and local newspapers generally circulating in the municipality, inviting submissions from affected persons who may wish to express a position on the proposal. Submissions will be considered by Council's Section 223 Committee, and a final document with due regard given to the public submissions will be prepared and further considered by this Council at its ordinary meeting to be held on the 28th of May 2013. There are minimal advertising expenses incurred as part of the engagement process, and there is no inherent risk in accepting the recommendation as presented to Council this evening. Madam Mayor, I put to Council for its consideration and adoption the recommendation as presented on page 47 of this agenda, as it is set out in four parts, authorising staff to commence the process to create a new meeting procedure local law, undertake the statutory advertising processes, invite any submissions as part of that engagement process in accordance with Section 223 of the Local Government Act 1989, and present a report back to this Council of the findings and to make it a final determination. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Just a question, Mr. Bean, in regards to the new piece of legislation of allowing a councillor to abstain from a vote. What does that exactly mean?
Madam Mayor, there's been a lot of discussion in regard to the effects that this may have, but effectively it means that if a councillor feels that they cannot provide a position either for, in support or against, as in not supporting a motion, they have the capacity to abstain or not vote at all in a matter. In effect, that is by default a vote against the motion that is before the chair by default. So it still requires a majority of councillors in the room to be voting in favour of that motion, although the person or the councillor has abstained from voting.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this motion as put.
And do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'll
I guess the motion lapses for in want of a second. Councillors. 8.6, submission to the state government's review of the development contribution system. And I'll have presenter Mr. Bob Baggio, manager for planning. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As the council would know, the state government is currently in the process of reviewing the development contribution system. Development contributions are very important, in fact critical, for this council, as they provide assistance to council in the provision, the timely provision of basic infrastructure and facilities to the new growth areas, which includes roads, community centres and recreation facilities. However, the current system is somewhat, I guess, cumbersome and has a number of problems, particularly in terms of implementation. These problems include things like unfunded liabilities that are leading council to make up the difference to complete important infrastructure projects, cash flow issues, and general inconsistencies and variations between the developer contribution plans that council is currently implementing in the growth areas. The state government is proposing to, in effect, standardise the system so that it's more consistent across the various growth councils. They've prepared a report which is titled Setting the Framework on a Revised Developer Contribution System, which was released for comment by the government-appointed advisory committee in January this year, and submissions were due by the 12th of March 2013. The attached submission to this report was sent to the advisory committee by the due date. In summary, the submission outlines that council is generally supportive of the standardised developer contribution system and considers that a proposal that simplifies and streamlines developer contributions would be a positive change. Having said that, however, council believes that the success of the revised system will depend on the standard rate that's set and determined. If the advisory committee does not strike a rate that is considered reasonable for the council, then this obviously will have a significant effect and ramifications for all councils, as it doesn't adequately fund infrastructure that is required to serve our growing community. Therefore, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that council notes the attached submission, which has been submitted to the advisory committee for its consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Do I have a councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this? Sorry, Councillor Turner.
Excuse me, Bob, I just ask a couple of things. This is obviously a standard thing we must address at this time. It could be a positive or a negative for us, but we must go through this process and understand. It just seems in the conclusion we're not very, accepting of it. Everything's generally supportive. Can you tell me, it states in here that some councils were included in helping with this report. Do you know which councils were and why these specific councils?
Sorry, what's that?
The councils that were involved in, it states here that there was some councils involved in this trial.
In this trial.
Do you know which councils it was? And why would it be those specific councils? Because obviously we would have liked to be involved in that.
Look, I'm not aware of the specific councils involved. I think it was a cross-section from memory of growth councils, but also the inner and middle councils. And that formed the basis, if you like, for a lot of the recommendations in the advisory committee report.
And would these have been used because they had more experience compared to Melton with this, with the contribution?
Yeah, look, Melton was involved and had a number of meetings with the advisory committee in concert with other growth councils. So certainly Melton's concerns, particularly in relation to the implementation issues that it's having with developer contributions, was expressed to the advisory committee in clear terms.
Councillors, any other further questions in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this item?
I'll move this motion as put, Madam.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
I'll second that.
Lindsay. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to item number 8.7, Planning Scheme Amendment C133, Adoption After Public Exhibition, presented by Mr. Bob Badger, Manager for Planning. Thank you, Mr. Badger.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this particular amendment is required essentially to facilitate the construction of a roundabout, which is identified in the Taylor's Hill West Precinct Structure Plan, on part of the land which is known as 115 City Vista Court in Plumpton. The roundabout will manage traffic movements at the intersection of two connector roads that will form part of the road network in this emerging and growing area. It is of significant strategic importance to ensure that development in the area occurs in a timely and safe manner. The amendment essentially utilises, proposes to basically incorporate a public acquisition overlay to ensure that the roundabout can be delivered as required. The amendment was placed on a public exhibition in accordance with the requirement of the Act, Planning Act, with the affected property owners notified directly, as well as notices in the Government Gazette and local newspaper. On the basis that no submissions have been received to the amendment, it can be adopted by Council and referred to the Minister for Planning for approval, which is essentially what's been proposed in the recommendation. Madam Mayor, the Council adopt the amendment in accordance with the appendix to the report and submit the amendment to the Minister for Planning for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any Councillor require any further clarification in regards to this motion or this item? Do I have a mover for the motion? Councillor, do I have a mover for the motion?
I'll move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have any Councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Agenda item 8.8, Far Holdings Pty Ltd, application for 20 additional electronic gaming machines at Shuragum Hotel Hillside. And this is to be presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this report is to provide an overview of an application that we've received for the Shuragum Tavern, if you like, on the Melton Highway down at Hillside. The tavern at the moment has 50 gaming machines in that facility, and the request is that they're looking to extend those gaming machines by 20. So obviously Council needs to consider the request and take in all the information provided. The tavern's been there, or the hotel has been there for quite some time. For us to respond, we need to get back to the Commission by the 15th of April this year, 2013, with a formal detailed submission due by the 6th of May 2013. If I can just point you to page 150 for the sake of the information, councillors. The tavern, as I said, has 50 machines, looking at extending to 50. I think if you go down to about halfway down page 150, where Spa Holdings social and economic impact statement predicts, and this is a prediction, that the additional 20 gaming machines will generate an additional income of $2.6 million to that hotel complex. But it also states that out of that $2.6 million, the transfer spend, if you like, so that's assuming that $1.9 million, if you're looking at this report, will come from other venues in the municipality. So the assessment that has been completed is assuming that the cost of these gaming machines will have an impact in the city of $650,000. But again, it's an assessment. The other information that come forward with this report, councillors, is that there will be an increase in venue size, but it's mainly around the gaming room, and that's referred to on page 153, the floor plan, and really it's an extension of the gaming room in the bottom right-hand corner for the councillors' awareness and the galleries. It predicts that it will facilitate and provide an additional $40,000 for the community as part of this application. It also makes an assessment that it will be a $4 million improvement to this asset, being the Hillside Hotel, and that will employ an additional 7 staff, basically. But again, that's an independent assessment. If you work down towards the bottom of the page, and I think this information is important for the Council to determine on this, is we look at the word the application and go to the second paragraph. This is information from the website that our community, and not just our community, the city takes in the existing venues that has gaming some $56.5 million in the last financial year, and year to date it's $36.3 million. So it's a lot of money that the community and outside spend from this community pump into gaming. The information provided on the website is that the Sugar Gum Hotel is about $8.3 million in effect of that, which has a big impact gaming overall on our residents, and not just our residents but visitors that are visiting our city. So for us to respond, councillors, we've put forward to you three recommendations on page 149 to cover this report. We, as officers, are putting forward that we inform the VCGLR that council does not support this application to increase basically the provision of gaming machines by 20. Provide the notice to the VCGLR that the council intention is to prepare its own submission by the 15th of April deadline and undertake what is known as a social and economic impact statement, so an independent assessment that will inform council's decision to the VCGLR by the 6th of May. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Just a question, Mr Heaney, what's the likelihood of, although council has refused the extra application for 20 additional electronic gaming machines, what's the likelihood of, I guess, the VCGLR putting that through and recommending it against council?
There is a likelihood, Madam Mayor, that we've just had a past one where the council contested six machines for another venue and the VCGLR just approved those machines. This is 20, so it is a big number of machines. I'll look at the ratios, compare that to the Victorian average, look at surrounding areas, but at the end of the day, the VCGLR will make a determination to approve or not approve.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Councillors, is there any other questions in regard to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
Can I please get an answer to how, with the current 50 machines they've got, what is the community, what is it, the community grant that, or contribution that they give?
The grant at the moment, Councillor Ramsey, is $15,000 that the venue gives, with an increase of an additional $40,000 proposed.
So if I extrapolate these figures, say for 20 extra machines, they reckon $2.6 million per annum. And if they've got 50 currently, and if I multiply that and just go to $5 million, round off with figures, they give the community $15,000.
At the moment. You're correct, at the moment, yes.
Councillors, any other questions in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this item?
Not only would I like to move this item, Madam Mayor, I'd like to strengthen our gaming policy, and whether that means a notice of motion to come later, because in a growth corridor, we're getting more and more applications. Our ratios are continuously changing, and the VCGLR is just another body that take planning responsibilities away from local council. And this needs to stop, because at the moment, for the sake of seven-something million dollars in possible machines currently, they're giving our community $15,000, and it's just not good enough.
Do I have a second for this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Filiari. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? May I just remind the gallery, although I know you're very enthusiastic about it, please remain silent. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? Before I continue, does any councillor oppose this motion? I just want to declare it carried, and Mr Heaney will actually speak on the gaming policy.
Yeah, if I can just respond to Councillor Ramsey's concern, Madam Mayor. We're doing work at the moment on the new gaming policy, and I think Councillor Ramsey's hit it on the head, and she's not aware of the work that we're doing at a high level at the minute, but it's tabled for discussion at the Western Region Group tomorrow, but I'll be attending so we can try and get some consistency across the West on our issues of gaming and what we do support or not support
with a consistent approach.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Move on to agenda item 8.9, culturally and linguistically diverse profile 2012, and the presenter of this item is Mr. Maury Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be very quick with this one. Basically, Council endorsed in 2010 an intercultural strategy, which has progressed past the halfway of the implementation term of that date. Consequently, it's time that we undertake a review and provide Council with an update of where we are with the outcomes of that strategy and the actions. I've just turned the page to 155. Office has been doing the mid-term review on the strategy, which quantifies the achievement and the measures and the progress against identified performance indicators in that action plan. Results indicated the identified strategy that was somewhat around about 53% delivered on the outcomes in that strategy. So we believe we're on target to deliver. If you'll note, as far as the work with this report, councillors, that on the bottom in the table of we just talk about some of the birthplaces of our residents in our city, and it gives you, a slight table and some information there. Our city's residents come from more than 107 countries and speak more than 80 languages, which is a pretty high piece of data and information, and further information can be found on the appendix documents on these reports. We have provided research and information to assist Council with information of our cultural strategy, if you like, or intercultural strategy. Some of the outcomes are noted on page 156, and I won't read them, but they're in three dot points. The services and the consultation was important for us to consult with as many groups and individuals as we could, and that was somewhat to 23 service providers that had face-to-face and phone-based consultations as part of this research. Appended to these report, Madam Mayor and Councillors, is two documents for Yorkshire. I don't intend to go through all of those. They're quite thick. There's a lot of information in there about the work that officers have been doing. So I suppose the good news is we believe we're about 53% through the work from an officer's point of view. So I just put forward, you all won't read them, but if we can note, put forward the four recommendations on the front of this report on page 154, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this, and in doing so, I'd like to say congratulate the Department for the amount of work we've put into this report. It's a very important part of our strategy, and I fully endorse the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'd like to second that. Would you like me to translate what Councillor Turner... Sorry.
Councillor Ramsey. Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to agenda item 9, reports of committees. Agenda item 10, reports from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. 10.1, presentation of written and verbal reports from councillors in their role as delegates to other bodies. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, I attended about 12 different committees over the last month, and I am not going to sit here and give everybody a brief on what they were. Most of the minutes are in the agenda. The Waves Reference Committee met, and it's also been a topic of discussion in the paper, but can I say to you there's going to be $250,000 worth of refurb works that goes on at the Waves, from a paint inside and out, new carpet. Most of, all bar about two pieces of equipment by the end of July will be brand new. There is going to be some fit out in the change rooms, and ceramic tiling in the wet areas, change room partitions, specialised painting, and pool hall ceilings going to be done as well. So when you look at that, can I also say close to $1 million has been spent in the Waves over the last two budget years, because there was a lot of stuff, a lot of money needed to be spent in the plant room behind the scenes
and their works that people don't see, because when you rock up to something, you expect the waves to run perfectly, you expect these things to be running seamlessly, but to get that happening, the mechanics behind the scenes, is actually quite costly and quite effective, but we wouldn't go with that for our community. The Community Learning Board, the minutes were attached. Lead West, there was a lot of delegations in regards to Lead West, but I'll allow our Mayor and the CEO to talk about the delegation up to Canberra, because that was basically what the board was referring to. Road Safety Westgate, right up until, and I apologise if I get emotional, right up until last week, Melton was sitting on no deaths, and then in Tulin Vale just on the weekend, a young man, 19 years of age, who had attended one of our community safety forums, his car was hit by a truck that had gone out of control and rolled over him and killed him instantly. And so that's the first one for this year. It has affected so much of our community. It is not funny. Because he's a local lad, he's been schooled here, and being the mother of teenage girls that live and breathe in this community, everybody knows him, and everywhere you go knows him. So not only do I want to say be safe on those roads, the Easter toll right across the nation took a huge hit, but Melton, take the time to just be safe, because we want to keep those statistics down. The Strategic Health Forum is basically more GPs, more GPs, more GPs. If you knew how many we were underserviced by, it's catastrophic is what it is. A lot of our local doctors are overworked, and I know this has been not only in the media but a topic of discussion, and then therefore it leads into the hospital board and advocacy for the hospital. If I'll allow my other councillors that were there to report to that. The Policy Review Committee, you've probably all heard it, and the Roads to Zero and the LTP basically go back to stay safe on the roads. But if any other council wants to see minutes or any other information on any of those committees, please don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Dunn.
Yes, I attended the Policy Review Panel and the Road to Zero Steering Committee, which Councillor Rand has already covered. I also attended the Ravenhall Prison Project Community Advisory Group, which Councillor Gagliari will cover a bit more in detail.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor
Turner. Yes, Madam Mayor. On March 15th, I attended the Youth Advisory Committee assessing with the grants panel for this week's awards night at Westwaters Hotel this Friday night. That's looking to be a good night. Lots of youth from the community will be receiving awards from the Council's Jack Awards, and it's usually a good night. There should be quite a few awards given on the night, probably in the range of 100 to 200 awards on the night. And it's all monetary awards that goes right back to the community to assist the youth with the learning in school and other projects they may be attempting. On the 18th of March, I attended Strategic Health Forum. There was quite a few items on the agenda, but I think one of note on the agenda was discussion regarding the designation for Melton as being in the area of workplace shortage. The problem with that is that present in Melton we have a great shortage of doctors, but isn't recognised in the review that's been done, because the last review takes into the census in 2010, which is a couple of years back, and we've had quite a growth in numbers since then. I believe we are in the region of, if the numbers are done properly, 40 doctors short in Melton alone. So just to let everyone know that the Strategic Health Forum is pushing hard on this for the community. And they've written to the federal government, and they were expecting a report back by the end of March. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm sure we'll have a report of that for the next meeting. on the 6th of April, it was National Youth Week. I attended the Beat on the Streets on Saturday afternoon at the clock tower. It was run very well by the YAC committee and youth, other youth volunteers who are not even on the committee. Saturday Night Live crews from Melton and Taylor's Hill, and obviously all the council staff as well who were there on the day giving up their time. It was a really successful day with six bands appearing on the day. And just as I know mentioned, on the 24th, there's a special event held at the clock tower again. It's becoming very popular, the clock tower. The local pizza shop across from the clock tower called AJ's, they actually run a fundraising day to raise money for the Royal Children's Hospital. They were looking to raise $1,500, and Colin Downey and his staff did a great effort. They ended up raising $8,000 on the day. So I'd just like to note that for council.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, could I just add to Councillor Turner's report? Colleen and the staff at AJ's wanted to acknowledge Fiona and the wonderful volunteers at the Visitors Information Centre that did so much to assist them. So, sorry, I didn't mean to interject.
No, that's okay. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Harley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Today was our first public hospital our first meeting for the public hospital for the Melton Advisory Committee. It was brilliant to see so many people come to the table with so many backgrounds. There was community members, politicians, councillors, GP, CEO, executive. I hope I haven't left anybody out. It was just great that it was the first day, the first meeting, and many more to come. It was great to see that we're all on the same page. We're all in favour of a 24-hour public hospital. And we're just going to get the ball rolling again and start up the campaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cogliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Two of my committees were rescheduled. Councillor Carley just spoke about the Public Hospital Committee. Councillor Dunn and myself, we attended the Ravenhall Prison Project with the advisory group last night. We discussed the outcomes of the information centres that were held at various venues at the at Greenback and also the City of Melton. I'll ask Councillor Dunn just to hand out some information about the Ravenhall Prison Project, and just a little bit about it, just to make you all aware that in May 2012 the government announced plans to build a new medium security men's prison at Ravenhall in Melbourne's west. The new men's prison will play an important role in the broader Victoria correction system, increasing the capacity of metropolitan prison facilities and then deal with the mental health services. Look, all the information is actually on that. If you'd like to make a comment or ask more questions, there is some contact details at the back.
Thank you. I attended my first local government ministerial advisory panel meeting. And nine mayors were actually chosen for this panel by the Minister of Local Government, Jeanette Powell. And the panel is tasked with improving the way Victorian councils and the state government communicate with one another and do business together. In our first meeting, the topics that will be on this year's agenda will be around councillor conduct, performance monitoring, cost constraints, sustainability, government reform agenda, transparency and accountability, and providing better value to the community. I was also able to secure discussions in future agendas regarding growth councils and interface councils, which will be another opportunity for me to advocate about issues that affect our municipality and that of the other 10 interface councils in Victoria. The Lead West delegation to Canberra with all six council CEOs and mayors went very well last month. We met with the Prime Minister Julia Gillard, Minister for Immigration and Citizenship Mr Brendan O'Connor, Attorney General and Minister for Emergency Management, Ms Nicola Roxon, Minister for Finance, Services and Superannuation, Mr Bill Shorten, and many federal shadow ministers as part of the Lead West Mayors of Melbourne West delegation to Canberra. We were joined by mayors and CEOs of Hobsons Bay City Council, Moonee Valley City Council, Maribyrnong City Council and Greenbank City Council. Our approach was a united one concerning the issues of the Western region around health,
education, public transport, roads, jobs, infrastructure, and the growth that Melton, together with Wyndham, are experiencing and what that means to us as a council and also our residents. We were well received by both ministers and shadow ministers, and I believe that our delegation was a successful one of a strong advocacy and representation of the West. The Disability Advisory Committee also met this month. Discussions around the Disability Action Plan's consultation and survey is well underway. There will be two consultation sessions, one in Melton on the 17th of April and one session in Caroline Springs on the 18th of April. And I encourage all residents to participate in either the consultation session or the survey that is available on Council's website. The Disability Advisory Committee had unfortunately received a resignation from one of our community representatives due to a personal commitment, and the panel discussed the steps it will take to advertise in the very near future for that position on the committee to be filled. I would also like to extend my thanks to all the residents who attended the Meet the Mayor and Ward Councillors forums. The last one was actually held on Sunday. All four were well received, and myself and fellow councillors have gotten very positive feedback from the meetings. I would like to thank council staff for organising the event, and also the CEO, executive management, and staff and councillors for attending. The 4 days were just another way in which council is increasing its engagement with other members of the community that otherwise may not have never had the chance to or the opportunity to do so. And as Councillor Carly had mentioned, the Melton Hospital Advisory meeting went ahead today, which was a historical meeting, and some of the topics of discussion were petitions and the future of the petition, the future of the hospital campaign, discussions around the need for a strategic document supporting a 24-hour hospital, and various other issues which Councillor Carley mentioned. So thank you, Councillors. I'll move on to agenda item 10.2, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor. And there is one correspondence from the Department of Health and Ageing, and it says, thank you for your correspondence of 21st of December 2012 to the Minister for Health, the Honourable Tanya Plibersek MP, regarding your request to meet with the Minister about the establishment of a 24-hour general hospital in Melton. Whilst the Australian Government is unable to directly advocate in this matter, it provides funds to each state and territory government to assist with the cost of providing public hospital services. The responsible for hospital infrastructure and development rests with the Victorian Government. It may wish to raise the matter with the Victorian Minister for Health, the Honourable David Davies MLC, if it hasn't already done so. Yours sincerely, Beck Sykes, Director of Fabu Care Policy and Programs Section. Councillors, I will now ask that a recommendation that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted. Do I have a mover for that motion?
I move that recommendation, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a
second
that,
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the matter? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to item 10.3, records of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda in accordance with section 80A/1 of the Local Government Act 1989, and the recommendation is that the record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda dated 12th of March, 18th of March, 26th of March and 2nd of April 2013 be received and noted. Do I have a councillor who will move the recommendation?
I'll move that recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor to second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to item number 11, notices of motion. 11.1, notice of motion 356, Councillor Dunn, relocation of bus stop in Western Highway Rockbank, Councillor Nola Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Council advocates to relocate bus stop on the inbound lane of Western Highway adjacent to the Sundown Caravan Park at Rockbank to a position in Westcott Parade behind the caravan park for the public safety of those residents who utilise the service.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have any councillor who requests or requires any further clarification in regards to this motion? Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? Sorry, before I do declare it carried, Councillor Dunn, you had a few words that you wanted to say.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just believe that this has been revisited. This has gone through before Council once before. And I believe that we should revisit this, as there's now an overpass on Lakes Road that the bus can use to exit and enter the freeway, whereas before it wasn't existing. And I believe it's terrible that people are having to catch a bus, have to walk across the National Highway to actually catch it. And just for example, the other day I was actually driving past, because I drive quite a fair bit, and there was a lady with a walking frame, and she was catching the bus into, I'd say, into Melton, and I was just wondering how she was going to actually catch the bus coming back and try and cross the double lane freeway. I think it's time that we revisit that.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to agenda item 11.2, notice of motion 357, Councillor Turner, encourage more recycling and a tidier city. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that council investigate costs and logistics in providing our residents with the option of an extra pre-tip day or something similar to support Keep Australia Beautiful and Clean Up Australia Day, and to encourage more recycling and a tidier city.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who requires any clarification? Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor, as long as it's not too costly.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Turner, do you wish to speak to your motion?
Yeah, I just think it's something that's needed within the Shire. Everybody has two tip tickets, not everybody actually can use a tip. And the idea of this motion is to look at other options, not specifically a tip, but other options of allowing them to have either recycling or getting rid of rubbish.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item agenda number 12, councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Ramsey.
It's just come up and it probably will lead into a motion without notice, but my question is, when the Western Region meet in regards to this gaming policy, how long before it is likely to come to council?
Well, the report's some time away on the new gaming policy. It's an intent to explore opportunities with the other Western Region councils to see what consistency there are. We also need to acknowledge that other councils have existing gaming policies that are already in place. Ours is up for review at the moment. The report, I would think, is probably still a couple of months away from coming back to council on the issue of gaming. But it's really just to gather the information tomorrow and see if we can have some form of consistency. We'll do our own gaming report at the end of the day. It's just trying to get as much information off those other Western Region councils as we can.
Councillor Ramsey.
Are there similarities with the growth or interface councils that are experiencing the same level we are? And those similarities, because I know there are some councils that are very firm on no more gaming machines, and I know that goes against so many rules, but I want to know what triggers we can put in place that we could leverage ourselves to be in the best position to argue when it comes to these other external bodies about gaming machines. And will this forum tomorrow and beyond give me that and give council that sort of those sort of assurances?
The forum may not give you that particular information early days, but the report will give you some information on how Melton moves forward with our gaming policy in the future. So the whole intent of tomorrow's, and this isn't a gaming forum, it's a Western Region group meeting, which the CEO has requested through Wyndham and has asked me to attend and gauge as much information as can about all the other Western Region councils' gaming policies. And look, the fact is that the policies are different in any shape or form. Some completely have a blanket where it says council will not consider any EGMs, additional gaming machines, and some have a bit of a variety of approach. And I suppose for us at the moment, you have to gauge in the future, and it'll be pending this next report that comes to council, is at what time, you know, I suppose West Waters was one example. It was bringing in something like over 100 jobs in the municipality, extra venues.
extra recreational amenities. Yes, it has gaming, but then you need to weigh up what are the benefits of the whole community. That's, you know, especially for, I'm just using the Westwater one as an example. There'll be no doubt council will have many, many more on its doorstep in the next couple of years with all the growth. So it's about obtaining as much information as we can from the West.
Councillors, any other questions without notice? No? Item number 13, motions without notice. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a motion without notice, and that is the Council Right to Public Transport Victoria requesting an increased allocation of bus shelters within the City of Melton.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Any other questions? Oh, sorry, any other motions without notice, Councillors?
Sorry, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey.
And I'm wording this on the hop, but... And I have to think about... Council form a position in regards to gaming machines to be fed into the reviewed policy. So it's not basically... I want it sort of... We get... It's a new council... new direction, and I'd like to feed a position through, so when we're reviewing and we're doing all the searches and we're meeting with the Western Region, I'd like to sort of have Council's position firm and not have, okay, we're a growth corridor, we may...
Yeah, it'll be, at the end of the day, it'll be our Council's decision on gaming. What we're faced with all the time is the decisions that come down from VCGR is basically the feedback we're getting is there's not that much consistency across the West. And I think you touched on it where each council has its own policy and its issues with gaming. We know that in the West, a lot of the... Well, obviously Wyndham and us are probably the biggest impacted at the moment because of the growth, because with growth comes other venues or whatever shape or form. And with other venues, most likely there is going to be a gaming capacity. But whatever we bring back will come to the council anyway for its discretion and consideration. There'll be a number of briefings on gaming, I'm sure, before something comes to this chamber.
And Councillor Ramsey, I'm sure you'll refine your motion by next month.
Okay, well, I'll just wait. I'll cool my jets for now.
So it's a motion without notice,
yeah.
So she can refine it for next month.
Okay.
Item number... Oh, sorry, councillors, are there any other motions without notice? Item agenda 14, is there any urgent business? Item agenda number 15, confidential business. Procedural motion, Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the procedural motion that pursuant to section 89, section 2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated.
Do I have a seconder for that motion?
I'll second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen in the gallery, for attending. Please help yourself to tea and coffee and some refreshments, and have a good evening. Thank you.